Hey Siri, are you busy this weekend? Be sure to come out and meet Jenny and Ben this weekend, August 14th, 15th, and 16th, in Rocking Rockville, Maryland for Intervention 6. Check out links on the Playing Doctor podcast website or get more details at interventioncon.com.
Hello, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're Playing Doctor. So we're finally back, two in a row.
Two in a row. That's
good to go.
That's it.
Yep, and then we'll be off for the rest of the summer, right?
Probably.
And before we get out for the summer, though, we're going to talk about the Lazarus experiment this week.
Yeah.
Which was a decent episode, I think. But if you have any questions about this episode and the previous 39 episodes that we've done, we're going to be at Intervention this August 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Yeah.
In Rockville, Maryland.
And Intervention is like the con that we never miss every year. It is the most fun. It's a lot of panels that where you can learn how to do different things. It's a lot of fun.
Your
cool vendors.
Your online life in real life.
In person. Close enough.
Whatever. Oni will kill me now.
She probably will.
Yeah, we should probably get Oni and James on the show sometime before...
That's a good idea.
Because that's the cool thing, is that Oni and James had Intervention, and so Oni, like, blows Intervention up into this huge thing and says, that's not enough, let me do Regeneration Who, and then starts the premier Doctor Who convention for the Mid-Atlantic region.
Mm-hmm. And that was a great time.
It was.
As we discussed in a previous episode.
So I think we should, definitely... get them on the show so they can talk about how great we are and we can talk about how great they are.
We can just all talk about how great everyone is.
It is.
That sounds great.
It's a good show.
Great.
But this week, to discuss the Lazarus experiment, we're joined with joined by Brian Lewis. Hey, Brian.
Hi. How's it going?
All right. And some of the, I guess, listeners who listen to some of the other... of our podcast friends.
Yes.
May recognize Brian.
Yeah, I used the gloom music in several spots, like in bumper
Yay.
Music and that sort of thing.
I like when people use me.
Well, I'm very good at that, using people. So, you know, I mean, there's a song called Bad Wolf, so.
Yes, and I have my phone case with me, my Bad Wolf TARDIS phone case. Today.
That's lovely.
I would have worn my scarf, but it's really hot out, so.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing weighs like 500 pounds. I have on myself, like, and it's just, and I'm only 5 feet tall, so like I have to wrap it around five times.
Yeah,
and it's
no,
just...
yeah, I'm pretty tall, and I have to wrap it around like at least three times. So
yeah. So I'm guessing you're with the Bad Wolf case that you've watched Doctor Who before.
Yeah, I grew up watching reruns on PBS like late when I was like, really little, which was the Baker years.
Yep,
the Fourth Doctor, and I loved it. And as a kid, I was a little science fiction nerd, so I never really saw much after that because at the time I don't think they really aired it a lot here besides outside of PBS reruns. And it wasn't until I started hanging out with the guys who would later be in the gloom with that I realized the show was back on.
Right,
and then I just kind of I think it was the first season of Tenet that I started watching again. So, of course, I went back and watched the Eccleston season resurgence. So I did watch the movie they made.
Like the 50th anniversary special?
No, it was the American movie. The one that did 96.
Oh,
yeah. Which I liked, but that was really all I saw after outside of watching it as a kid with Baker. So... it's nice that it's like the cool thing to do now.
Right.
To watch Doctor
Who. It's amazing how much of a difference, and with you having watched it on the old PBS years, yeah. I guess you can, relate to this. When I was kidding, I came in around the same time, you know, late 70s, early 80s when I was coming in on it, on PBS in my hometown. And I, you know, just immediately, you know, just stuck to it. And I used to joke that was my Saturday night was... you know, Tom Baker starting at 9 p.m.
Wild times.
And if it was one of the expanded episodes, right? So if it ran late, then I would be able to stay up late enough that my grandmother would go to sleep, and I would stay up for Saturday Night Live.
Nice.
And so it just, you know, one into the other. So I got to see, you know, the best years of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And the best years of, you know, what I think Doctor Who was. But there was nothing like it is now. I mean, you can't go to the store and buy sonic screwdrivers in 1982.
No.
There's no action figures. There's nothing. Now I walk down the street to Barnes & Noble, and they have like two shelves full, you know, like end caps with, oh, your Doctor Who pillow, your Doctor Who t-shirt, sonic screwdrivers.
It's become like Kiss-esque almost in its merchandising. There's everything. Like I saw like Doctor Who Jenga at Comic-Con one year. I was like, that doesn't even make sense at all. So,
but there it is.
But I want it.
Yeah, I wrote a very offensive joke about it. I used it in my stand-up about a better crossover game of Jenga, but I thought that was a weird thing. I was like, they just put Doctor Who on everything now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We've got the Doctor Who Monopoly set.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everything you can think of. There's Doctor Who Yahtzee, and you've got like the Dalek that you shake. And
oh my gosh, I haven't seen that cool one.
See, at least that makes sense though, because it's like a Dalek shape. Yeah,
you know, I mean, so there's, I don't know, the merchandising. If I were 11 years old again, with access to all of this. I mean, I still remember my uncle finally helping me put together like one of those telescoping car antennas, right? He took that and cut it down for me and welded a ring on the end of it so I could have like a Tom Baker style sonic screwdriver. And that was my sonic when I was a kid, you know? So I'm a little kid with this, and telescopes and everything, right? I had like I had a brown bathrobe that I wore, and I'd pin celery to it. So, I mean, it was just because the Fifth Doctor was my doctor. And the thing was, I was out on the farm. So in one way, it was good because it didn't make me like a social outcast because I already was. Because, you know, I'm out on the farm. There's nobody sees me. So I'm running around dressed like the doctor playing with my sonic screwdriver and just me and my dog out in the woods, you know, on adventures.
That's not weird at all.
No, but
did you call him Canine?
I did, only on the adventures though, and he went with it, so I was good.
It's like he's just being weird again.
Whatever. But you know, if I were doing that now, living in town and everything, I'm sure you know, nerd, and I would have gotten beat up a lot.
No, nowadays
more.
It's in style. You can dress as Doctor Who, and everybody's
nowadays
cool with
you
it.
Have like a Beatlesque horde of women chasing you down the street
for being
a Doctor Who nerd. I hit, being a Whovian,
I hit like nerd level 11, and you know, it's just like there are women everywhere. So now we cut to 15-year-old Ben, who was still a nerd, and the social outcast, because between Doctor Who and Star Trek, not that many ladies. So yeah, if I could bring him forward in time, it's just like, dude, it gets so much better.
No, I have that. I had that thought all the time. I was like, you know, if I would have known that, because I'm part of the last generation who got ridiculed for being a nerd, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a conflict for me for like not being bitter about how like nerd culture is cool now. And then because I'm like, I paid for this for you guys to be able to get laid for liking comic books now.
Yes.
You know? I earned this, man. I used to get stuffed in lockers, and I would never have thought I would have sex with a beautiful woman because I like comic books and because I like science fiction. And, you know, like liking Jurassic Park and dinosaurs is like something that is appealing to women now. But I used to have to pretend I didn't like that stuff to get any interest in women, from women. And now it's like the opposite is true. So it's weird. Like I'm definitely like reaping the benefits of it, but it's also like, man, you kids don't know how good you have it. Like I feel like an old, a cranky old man.
Back in my day,
yeah,
you kids got it easy.
Yeah,
yeah. So the cranky old man hour continues. So let me summarize real quick so we can start talking about this thing. And this worked out pretty well last episode, so I think we're going to keep this.
Let's do it.
Summary. While the Doctor is dropping off Martha after their one trip in the TARDIS, a story on the news catches the eye of the Doctor, and soon they're off on another adventure. The brilliant Doctor Richard Lazarus has finally figured out how to reverse the aging process. Much like all great scientists, he tests the machine on himself in front of a gathered crowd of potential investors. The Doctor meets Martha's family, and Mum doesn't like him. It doesn't help that a mysterious man is whispering warnings about the Doctor to her. Where the Doctor goes, death and destruction follows, and this party is no exception. Meanwhile, the effects of Dr. Lazar's experiment have started to show as he becomes the Scorpion King of Death. The Doctor defeats the Scorpion King by reversing the polarity and save the day, until Dr. Lazarus pulls a Lazarus and returns from the dead to hide in a church. Using Martha and her sister as bait, the Doctor plays his organ to defeat the CGI monster once and for all. In the end, Martha and the Doctor leave again for more adventures, despite ominous warnings from Harold Saxon to her mom.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to start thinking about the Hall of Justice for a second.
Meanwhile, no. I could only dream of hitting Ted Knight levels. Now, this episode is available on Netflix for sure, because that's where we just watched it. And I think they're still on Hulu.
I think so.
And we've got the code still up in the show notes.
Somebody said they've been pulled from Amazon Prime, though, which is disappointing.
It's sad.
Yeah. So now you have to subscribe to, like, all the services to get Doctor Who.
Right. So this episode was the first time we see Mark Gatiss in person.
Mm-hmm. And he wrote and starred in this episode, correct?
Did
he write this episode?
He did not write this episode. He just starred it. But he had written, what was it, Unquiet Dead, Victory of the Daleks, and a ton of others.
And he's also Sherlock's brother.
Yes, he's M on
Sherlock
Holmes.
The other show
on BBC.
Another fantastic BBC show.
That I don't get to watch near enough.
No, we don't. I think I'm still, like, in the first season. It's sad.
I'm still, like, on the second episode of the second season, so I have to catch up.
So. Oh, definitely. I mean, because there's already, like, a third season?
I think so.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
And there's only three episodes a season.
I know.
So it's like, what's wrong with you people?
But they're an hour and a half long, to be fair.
Right. It's these short seasons. I mean, I used to complain that Doctor Who was only, you know, 12, 13 episodes a year, and then Sherlock Holmes comes along, and it's like, oh, three, four, if you're lucky. No? Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, on this one, though, Mark Gatiss.
Mm-hmm. He plays a guy named Lazarus.
Yes. And he is a huge Doctor Who fan. That's one of the good things. I mean, not in the episode, but in real life. What?
Oh, my God, Doctor, can I get your autograph?
You're Doctor Who. What? No. What? Cut. No, Mark Gatiss is a fan of the Doctor. And I think that, you know, shows in some of the episodes that he writes that...
He writes some really great episodes of Doctor
right.
Who.
He's actually done voiceovers, too.
For
the Doctor. He was Danny Boy in a future episode that we haven't covered yet.
Oh, okay.
Danny Boy to Doctor. That whole thing? Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
Yeah. Demon's Run. You'll get there. Spoilers. Yeah.
I've kind of forgotten. It's been a few years.
Right. It's been a few years since we started the show. Episode 40, and we're 4 years in. 10 a year, just like Doctor Who.
Oh, that would be caught up by now. But anyway.
Yes. But so Mark Gatiss, very familiar with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Lazarus, your standard mad scientist motivated by self-interest and greed, yes or no?
Absolutely.
And yeah, the desire of immortality.
Right. And if you can make a profit.
Yeah.
Bonus.
Yeah. I liked his spinny phone box of doom.
Is that what you call it? Is that the official trademark patented name of this device?
Yeah,
I didn't know that the Scorpion King was like the official name for him either. Which just makes me think of that terrible movie with The Rock.
The Rock?
Yeah.
This episode, better than that.
Yeah.
The CGI was about the same.
Say it's about the same, too.
It was either that or Scorpion Penis, and I didn't want that.
Yeah. I mean, his first appearance in the episode, it looks like a Scorpion Penis. So.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, taking out old ladies and damsels. So.
Up in the foreskin.
Now, I think that is one of my favorite scenes, though, in the entire episode, is when he has Martha's sister on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so Martha and the Doctor come up to save her. And Martha and her sister are having the little sibling fight. Mm-hmm. You know, you're always ruining everything for me. In the background, Mark Gatiss is just, I mean, there's no sounds or anything. He just goes into this,
yeah.
The arms draw up and just drops so they can put the CGI in. But it was just this great because they don't even notice. They're just like, you know, how, you know, you're always ruining this. You're always doing. And the guy's just in the background, just having convulsions and just blop. And that's how sisters fight.
I just like how it shows the vanity of people, because he hits on her, he hits on her sister early on, and he's old. And she's like, I don't want anything to do with you. Creeper. The second he becomes young, she's like, yeah, I got to get some of that.
Young and rich, so, yeah. I'm there.
So well, yeah, that's yeah. All right,
that really disturbed me.
Yeah, that really makes her sister look good, like a good.
Well, what was the old thing about the difference between flirting and sexual harassment? Was how attractive the guy is.
I've always said that, man.
So. And, you know, when he's creepy old guy, it's like, oh, my God, lawsuits city here.
Because he was just as creepy when he was young and, like, quote, attractive.
Yeah.
Like,
what would you say, less ugly?
Yeah, less, I think less unsexy, I think is what I called him. Because he still came off as just a total creep jackass.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I love the line, I've already wasted one life of time on you. Why would I waste another?
Yeah. That's,
to the old lady. I was like, wow, dude.
Cold-hearted, man. Especially the woman who kind of looks like Jessica Tandy a little bit.
Right.
So I would want to put my scorpion penis on Jessica
right.
Tandy.
I mean,
you know, and especially, I got to imagine, you know, young Jessica Tandy would be okay once she has her time in the spinny.
Like he should have at least given her a go around in the machine first.
Right.
Before he was like, I'm done with you.
And they could have hot scorpion love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, you know, could be a whole new thing.
Take over and make scorpion babies all across the earth.
This is a working theory.
There's a lot more appendages and maybe orifices if you're a scorpion. So, yeah, you gotta at least test it out first, Dr. Lazarus.
Yeah. Don't just automatically. Ew.
Yeah.
And the face he made while he was kissing her.
Yeah.
This is like,
he's about to vomit on him.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you were old like 20 minutes ago. Don't, you know, it was good enough then. I don't know what your problem is now. I mean, I can understand if you're 40 and, you know, if he was naturally 40 or 41.
Uh-huh.
I got it. And he's like, ew, creepy old lady. But you know, she smells like medicine. Dude, you still smell like medicine. Okay? What the hell? Take, you know, that icy hot ain't gone yet.
Change your Depends and calm down, man.
He's probably still working because he hasn't had time to change it. He was still
That's
in the tux.
True.
And you know those Depends got wet. I mean, you go through the spin cycle like that.
Yeah.
That even if you're, you know, 20, you're going to have, you know, something scared out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But, I mean, it was pretty cool overall, I think. I like the I don't know, what are we going to call this thing? The washing, the spin cycle of de-aging?
I don't know.
I love the effects, though. You had the little thing spinning one way while it spun the other, and lightning effects. Those are always fun.
Yeah.
And, of course, the doctor has to jump in, as usual, to save the day as it overloads.
Yes.
Do you think it was really going to blow up, or do you think he was just, like, being melodramatic?
Do you think, like, he's a drama queen? Like, he has, you know, the whole thing, oh, it was just going to buzz for a little bit and finish.
Right.
But he has
because here's the thing. He unplugs it after the first go-around, so clearly it was malfunctioning anyway. So then I don't think he plugged it back in when they went in the second time. So he's like, oh. It was probably him who restarted it, honestly, with his sonic screwdriver, just so he could be like, "See, I swear, I'm not still hung up on Rose. Like, you're okay. We're trapped in this bottle."
You know, funny thing though, this was one of the first episodes that he didn't seem to, and that's why I actually called her Martha in the summary.
Yeah,
for the first time, and not Rose.
Yeah,
because that's what we've been calling her this season.
Not
is the not Rose.
Because every other episode, they really drive it home that it's like you're not Rose.
Yeah,
Rose would know what to do.
Yeah, and then she's, like, pining after him, which there was a little bit of that, but it wasn't, like punching in the face like every other episode.
Well, I think, though, she finally grew a pair on this episode because when she thought he was just going to drop her off, she wasn't going to beg. She's like, fine, take off.
Bye then, I don't care.
Later.
Go.
I don't need this. But, you know, I don't want to travel time and space and space and time and kill Daleks and be not Rose. But, no, this one, it seemed like he wasn't really pushing the whole not Rose thing. He was kind of finally accepting her as a companion. Maybe not a Rose-level companion, but a companion nonetheless.
Yeah, but then her mom steps in, and her mom's like a total bitch.
Her mom's very Angela Bassett-esque.
Yes.
Yeah, and like, her attitude.
She had these giant fucking eyebrows, man.
It kind of scared me. It did.
Maybe that's why she was so angry. She couldn't get his eyebrows under control and just...
I think it's... Maybe she had some, you know, Scottish blood and you know had the angry eyebrows.
Yeah.
Just like ah.
But like, why doesn't he get along with the companions' moms? Are they like a jealousy thing?
I mean, now this isn't as bad as Eccleston because we've discussed a couple of times. Rose was like 18, 19 years old. Eccleston was 40 something years old. So you got this 40-year-old dude, you know, coming and picking up your 19-year-old daughter. Jackie didn't seem too upset with that. Hey, she's hooking up. Maybe we can, you know, get a marriage out of this and get some benefits.
Right.
So she was, but you know, she was mad for other reasons. But Martha's mom, I think, has that same thing. Hey, Martha's still a medical student, so she's like early 20s, and this guy's like mid to late 30s. It's like, you know, watch your.
Like she's very protective of her daughter.
Right. I mean, she's probably paid for college, paid for medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it works in Britain. Do they pay for school over there?
Who knows?
They don't have Pell Grants. They have to do something.
I'd imagine it's better.
Well, it's always better.
It's got to be better.
You know?
Yeah.
But she's becoming a doctor. And we know that, you know, doctors in Britain are slaves of the state because they have socialized medicine. So that's what they tell us.
Don't turn this into a political debate.
They take whips and they beat people until they become doctors.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be a doctor in socialized medicine.
You know.
Interesting.
It's crazy over there. And so Martha's endured all of this. Her mom has had her, you know, go through all the schooling and stuff. And I'm sure there's been a lot of expense for mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And now since she's hooking up with this skinny guy in a tight suit. And as far as her mom knows, this was a one-night stand.
Yeah.
Because even though she's...
That's what she was getting the impression of. Like, oh, what were you doing last night? You're busy with... stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, she's told me all about you. What could she have possibly told you? And what, you know, what have you heard?
Yeah.
Oh, that you're her mom.
You're a total bitch.
That she has a mom.
Yeah.
That you are probably her.
See, I thought she had just sprung forth from the ground fully formed, but apparently she does have a mother. We discussed that. Yeah. So your mom.
That's how I feel about Prince, though. I don't want to change the subject completely, but I always thought Prince didn't have parents. He was just created.
He just...
So.
I have a theory that he's a Time Lord.
Yeah? That would make a lot of sense. That would make
the wardrobe?
So
yeah.
Right. The wardrobe alone is enough. It's like proof one, and then you have all these other things.
I mean, he's just a name. Like, the Doctor, he's just Prince.
Exactly.
Think about it.
And, hey, like the War Doctor years, which we haven't got to yet, but the, you know, the unnamed Doctor...
Right, when he just...
When Prince went through his symbol days, that was his dark time.
Yeah.
I have a blog about that, so I'll have to post the link.
Yeah,
and to bring it all full circle, you said that doctors are slaves of the states, and then Prince had slave written on his face at one point when he was trying to get out of his record contract. I just like to bring up Prince whenever I can.
That's fine.
It's always welcome on this show.
Yeah.
If we can work David Bowie in at some point, too, that would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yet another Time Lord.
Yeah.
Maybe Prince and Bowie... are like the Doctor and the Master. And so they've gone through time and music in an eternal battle for our love.
We're going to need to get Stone to continue this conversation.
All I know is if they're both Time Lords, I want to be Jack Harkness because I want to sleep with both of them.
That works.
Yes. Yes.
See, that was the big controversy at my house when I was growing up. My sister was a huge Michael Jackson fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big Prince fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she said...
You won.
I think I did.
you won. Yeah.
You know.
You know, other than the whole thing with, like, the Jesus juice and the secret closet where he took the little children, Michael Jackson's okay. But just that one little thing that...
I just spent, a half hour in a bar a couple nights ago defending Michael Jackson. So I can't say anything. But, Prince won.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't like his current look. It's a little odd. But hey, you know, you get a regeneration that doesn't work sometimes. And
I think Prince may have used that Lazarus machine, to be totally honest. Like, maybe a second generation of it where, like, maybe you don't turn into a scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he's defying death somehow. I'm pretty sure of it. Like, he's like 60 now? Is he late 50s?
Can't be.
Nah.
No, he's 35. If anything,
35.
35. Yeah. If he's a day, but so I we have discussed the Prince connection before, and thank you for bringing it up.
Nope,
now we will be able to pull that in to the connection.
He's 57.
Like I said, 35.
Yeah,
So I don't know. I don't know why you keep talking gibberish over there. Is your mic working?
The internet says maybe
he's 57 in human years, but our concept of time is.
I was gonna say maybe like my computer is like going through the time vortex and getting a weird connection through the time vortex.
It could be. I mean, you know, whenever
it's a future Wikipedia article. So I don't know.
Just because he was born 57 years ago doesn't mean he has lived those 57 years. He can skip
That's
around.
True. Yeah, that is true.
He jumps around a lot.
Have you seen his stage performance? He jumps around a lot. No? Okay.
Anyways.
So continuing with the Mummy Dearest over here. I mean, do you think she was a no more coat hangers kind of lady? She just, you know, the wire coat hangers at some point. That's why Leo and the sister and Martha were, you know,
kind of. They were all terrified of her.
They were like, calm down. Right.
She's like, you know.
It's just a dude.
Right? But it's apparently, you know, Martha's never been with a dude before because it's just like, rah, who is this?
You would think that she would be, like, happy for her that she found, like, attractive guy who's apparently a doctor.
Right? And you're going to be a doctor. Hey, that can't hurt your career.
See, I don't know what it says about me, and I don't want to make this about race, but I thought it was maybe like a little bit of a guess who's coming to dinner moment where she was like, who is this white dude with my successful black daughter?
Well, see, we find out later when we see the Chicky Poo that there's a reason that mom and dad aren't together.
Right. That's right.
And it was a guess.
Chick.
Yeah. Dad hooked up with the young white chick, so maybe there was some of that.
Because normally the show is not very shy about interracial issues
That was the thing.
The Runaway Bride episode. I mean, they just wasn't even a
right.
And you don't even mention it. That was the thing. I've just ongoing though that if you saw a couple on Doctor Who, it was either an interracial couple or a gay couple. I mean, the standard. I think Donna's mom and dad were the first time I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Like a single race heterosexual.
Dad, right?
Yeah, you do.
You do?
Yeah. And a lot of the Wilf episodes were supposed to be her dad, but the actor who played her dad died. This is future stuff we'll have to talk about in the future.
Okay,
but,
future.
Yeah, because we haven't got to Donna yet. But he was in Runaway Bride that we have discussed.
Oh, okay.
Right, but he's not when she comes back because the actor died in the meantime.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Way to bring it down, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. You know?
Not everyone can regenerate. That is the lesson for today. Life is fragile.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Not all of us can turn into scorpions.
No. Right.
Scorpion penises.
I've enjoyed my 613 years and, you know.
You will not be turning into a scorpion penis at the end of it.
No, when I regenerate, I'm aiming for a chunky Asian dude.
Please don't.
But
that's the goal.
You better hope he has a better attitude about you then, because he's not going to be like, I'm not going to waste another life with you either. So I'm not going to spend another lifetime talking about Doctor Who on podcast with you. He's gonna trade up.
Bye, Felicia.
Well, that's why, you know, it's handy that you're younger than me, though, because, you know, even when I, you know, regenerate younger, you know. It still works.
So this is you reminding me that we violate like the half plus seven rule?
No, we don't.
You're 500 and something. I think my age is a lot less than that.
Well, it for Time Lords, it's different.
Okay, gotcha. It's,
I mean, how else are you going to explain the Tenet Rose thing? See?
Good point. Because that's... Just because he looks younger, technically, it's still pretty creepy if you think about it.
That he's,
I feel like R. Kelly would really appreciate this argument, like, 15 years ago.
Aging,
like, no, I'm a Time Lord. You know, whatever.
So you're saying the doctor likes to pee on people too?
I don't know. I mean, I do.
The master does.
That is true.
So the master and Brian, it's a going thing.
Yeah.
And he has facial hair. So this could be in, R. Kelly, facial hair. People with facial hair pee on people.
Yeah. So, and it's really popular to have a beard now. So everybody's just peeing on everybody. You guys have no idea.
That's, I mean, Ghent is crazy because you got to think. I mean, every time I drive through there, I'm like, oh, beard.
Yeah.
Watch out.
That's not rain.
That's not rain.
No, I mean, no. We all leave Ghent to do it. That's why we call it P-Town. So.
Have you smelled P-Town?
I have been to P-Town.
Yeah.
It works. P-town. Yes.
Yeah.
Air quotes don't work too well on podcasts.
No, they don't.
I have derailed the show completely.
No. That's what you obviously have not listened to our shows. Usually at this point, I'm talking about some goofball story from Alabama, or we've spent 20 minutes on comic books.
Got past that too. Just knocking them out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're actually keeping us on track.
Good.
This is good.
I'm glad. Anytime I can bring up Prince and R. Kelly peeing on people into a Doctor Who conversation, it's a good day.
Yeah. This is a successful show. I can't even talk.
Yeah. That was like, you know, a college fantasy, you know, Prince and R. Kelly peeing on people. No.
No.
The comic book connection, because there's the big Batman v Superman coming out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hey, it's Comic-Con week, all right, so.
It is.
It is.
So by the time this show comes out, it might not be, though.
It'll be again.
It'll be next Comic-Con.
Yeah.
San Diego 2016, that Batman and Superman movie, it was great. And, so what I did, and to tie into Michael Jackson, during one of the Michael Jackson cases, I took a Yahoo News article about the case, and I did a find and replace for Michael Jackson or Mr. Jackson and changed it to Bruce Wayne or Mr. Wayne. And he was accused of taking young boys back to his mansion.
Oh.
And all, you know, the whole controversy.
God.
And it worked. There was very little editing that I had to do to make this that, you know, Bruce Wayne finally got busted for all those Robins he's been taking home.
That's amazing.
And it was disturbingly accurate to the comics, and I'm like, I put that, Michael Jackson was a real life Batman.
Yeah,
it's,
or Batman was a total pervert. Matter of
one or the other.
Yeah.
Seduction of or the Innocent both. May have been a true story.
Yeah,
it wasn't. See, comic books will make our children be homosexuals and communists, and that's why we have to burn comic books.
Half of that was true for me. So,
I'm not gonna ask Wish. It's your business.
I'm a socialist. It's only, I have it tattooed on me. It's okay. But I'm not saying I have known the taste of a man before, but, you know.
But that's a whole different show.
That's a whole nother podcast there.
Coming soon to the Reality Amok Network. We're always looking for new shows.
Let's start the Peeing on People show.
The Peeing on People.
I want to host that show.
Yeah, you're first on the list.
Or maybe we can have an R. Kelly show. Or can you pee on a fifth grader?
Can you pee on a fifth?
That'll be a good show.
Okay.
Yep.
We will aim for that.
Good night, everybody. I'll be here all week.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to get sponsors, but
it will be a labor of love, definitely.
Brought to you by Depends.
Yeah.
When you don't want to pee on the fifth grader.
When you got to keep it in your pants.
So, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
How about the show?
He can land that TARDIS pretty accurately now, can he?
You guys are never going to have me on the show again.
Oh, actually, no. We're almost ready to give you a key to the TARDIS. I mean, it's...
All I have to do is talk about peeing, and I get to be a companion on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
that's
automatic.
The secret. Bring up Prince. Bring up peeing on fifth graders.
Yeah.
You're in.
You're in.
Unintentional pun of the week. Okay, so the TARDIS lands.
Yeah. Yeah, he
now, what was that?
Apparently learned to park that thing like right in place.
I mean, he landed it in her bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Went through her knickers.
Yeah, he did.
He's a panty sniffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually he's just like landing the thing, and he'll just like park it on the edge of a cliff that's about to fall, or like he'll be like a year off the time that he intended, and he was like,
boom, next morning.
Right.
Well, to be fair though, he's taken several days to get to the next morning. We've done Shakespeare, we've done gridlock,
that's true.
It wasn't like, hey, let me just run you to tomorrow morning. Oh, I missed it.
No, but even when he does this sort of thing normally, like he would take Rose on a little trip and then come back and then...
It was a year later.
Yeah, she was missing for like a year and everybody's freaking out.
Yeah.
And this time he managed
and
to get it like
Ricky
spot on.
Mickey the idiot
was
blamed for
murdering
it.
Her or something. Yeah, yeah, so... And of course...
That's some smooth stuff right there, though. You take a woman on a time adventure, and you're like, yeah, I'm just right back in your room before we even left.
Boom.
Yeah.
We're still over there.
I feel like Prince would do that.
He would.
Yeah.
He would bring the TARDIS back and park it in the bedroom, like, while he was having sex with her
in
the future.
I really want, like, a paisley purple police box now.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to call it the Hardest instead.
We're making this happen. I'm loading up Photoshop, like, as soon as you leave. Yeah.
The art department is excited.
Yeah.
Get the tracing paper ready. Get Peggy to put on a pot of coffee. It's going to be a long night.
Got plenty of booze, so okay. We're good.
Another I think he in the whole in the new series, he's gotten a lot better about parking the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, I mean, Tom Baker could not park that thing for shit. Yeah. It was like, hey, we need to move the TARDIS like a half mile that way. Oh, that's going to be tough. Why don't we just leave it here and walk?
You'd better off just putting it on a dolly and moving it over there.
Yeah. Yeah. But now it's, I mean, like the first episode when Eccleston was leaving and Rose, you know, he hadn't fully convinced Rose to go with him. He disappears and then immediately pops back. And that pretty much was the parking spot that he used for the whole, you know, whatever Eccleston would visit the Powell estate.
It was just because they just had like one shot of it and they just like left it there.
All just to reuse it.
Yeah. They were like, we're not moving this fucking thing.
They just built sets around the palace.
Basically.
It's heavy. The union was there. They're like, dude, it's
seems like a lot of work.
$1,500 just to get it over there. Yeah, you don't wanna leave it.
It's good.
It's all right. Yeah. I'm all right. And I mean, you got to think they got it into Martha's bedroom. You know, that's a little door. You don't want to do that twice. Have you ever tried to move a sofa through an apartment door like that?
No, I pay peasants to do it.
Okay, well, I've had a second story apartment with a 90-degree turn at the top of the stairs. You try to get a couch through that. It's like a good sized sofa. So imagine with a TARDIS. That's not going in easy. You gotta take the light off the top. You gotta try to work it around.
And who are you gonna get to help you move that TARDIS? Like, it's hard enough to get friends to help you move a sofa. It's like once you get stairs involved, then it's just
like, oh my god, this thing is the relative weight of the planet. Can we just just move? Could you get a first floor apartment?
No.
Okay. But either way.
Something else I really like that he brought up, though, was the reverse polarity. Like, I feel like this is the first time he's done the whole reverse polarity thing since probably the old days, like the classic days.
I don't remember there being something like that in the new show yet, so.
Because that was kind of like a running gag with Pertwee, especially.
Pertwee
right?
was the one who, he reversed the neutron flow or reversed the polarity.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't matter what it is, just reverse the polarity. Good to go.
And it fixes everything.
It's like duct tape. It's the duct tape of the Time Lord world.
Just sonic screwdriver, reverse some polarity, and you're good to go. It works.
Mm-hmm. 50% of the time, it works every time. Something, I feel like we missed some stuff.
And I'm sure Kirby will write in and tell us all about the things that we missed.
We missed the Hunchback of Notre Dame reference when he says he wants sanctuary in the church bell tower.
Ah.
I did miss that. I think that was when I was going into my Chinese food coma.
Yeah.
And I was just like feeling like a scorpion had just sucked me out and left me on the floor to die.
Like a husk.
Yeah, a husk of a human just laying there rotting on the floor. Yeah, the whole ending scene with him playing with his organ in how did he know that was going to work?
The sonic stuff?
Yeah. And how did it affect the scorpion and not the two humans?
It did. Didn't you see Martha's sister holding her ears going, owie?
Yeah, but I mean, she didn't like have convulsions and throw herself off.
We had to get it at the right sonic frequency and reverse the polarity of the sound waves.
Yeah.
Sonic screwdriver is involved.
Well, I was always told if it's too loud, you're too old, and technically he was too old, so I think that's why the only reason it affected his ears.
Okay.
Because he really was an old man trapped in a young scorpion penis body.
So, that's true.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I just, like, that was one of the only things I think that kind of took me out of the episode between that and the horrible CGI that looked like it came out of, like, a Resident Evil game or something from PlayStation 1. Like, I was just like, how did that work? I don't care. Whatever. He's dead.
Well, thankfully, they avoided a lot of it. Like they would have shadows and they would do, you know, that. So they didn't have that CGI in your face the whole time. They just did it when they had to do it. So that was kind of good. Skittering down the hallways after the doctor.
Yeah. And then going upside down.
Yeah, that was nice.
And they did bring back our favorite thing, the weird lens effects. Like when you get to see things from the scorpion penis's point of view and it would like have like the little stars.
I imagine a penis would have a fisheye lens on it. So
Yeah. And everything looks kind of blurry and shiny. Yeah.
I mean afterward, yeah.
No. So Prince is a Time Lord, huh?
Prince is a Time Lord.
Wow, yeah. How about that? Of course, now Purple Rain has a whole new meaning to me, but...
Oh my God, no. No.
We could go back to the 4th of July fireworks.
Which... Oh, the... Okay, 4th of July, we bought one of those big kits of all the weird, you know, sparklers and crap.
Yeah.
One of them, we could have sworn, said golden shower.
It was actually golden flower.
Yes.
But it was in a script.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the best part was is we were all calling it the golden shower sparklers, and so all the kids heard us. So they're like, oh, are you going to do the golden shower next?
I think you guys need to investigate after this one, because we're talking about children and golden showers.
Oh, no, I've already got enough problems with my kid's mom. Yeah, my 11-year going home and me getting the, what is he talking about, golden showers? What the hell kind of party did you take our kid to? Yeah, there were fireworks.
There were explosions, you know.
There was a Joker.
Normal things.
You do a golden shower on a kid one time, never hear the end of it.
I know. What does society come to?
Bruce Wayne and Michael Jackson were there. It was R. Kelly showed up. It got weird. I'm sorry. Thankfully, Prince came in and broke it up.
For America.
Freedom.
Yeah. Freedom.
Yeah. Freedom to pee on people.
God.
It's what Christopher... You know people pee on people? England. You know why? Because they ain't free like us. You never see the doctor doing that stuff. James Bond. He doesn't do that either.
They're into it, though. They just, you know.
Behind closed doors, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you get in Parliament.
That's true.
Can you hide your deviance longer than anyone else? Oh, you're in.
Well, it's really not much different here. I mean, think about how much stuff comes out about senators, like, after they've gotten elected. Like, what?
Happy America Day. All right. I like the episode.
I do, too.
The CGI obviously was dated.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're going to have. But overall, and it ties in, this one thing that's going on this season is we hear another, in this episode, mention of Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Saxon. Harold Saxon.
They tie that in really, really well, unlike some other seasons in the future, where they just kind of like smack you in the face with the overarching storyline.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the bad wolf of third season.
Mm-hmm. And it's really a shame that Martha just... is kind of a hit and miss character, because this season overall, like, was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Martha's been one of my favorite companions.
In this episode.
I mean, she runs back into danger.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked. Of course, I'm watching the episode, and the weird thing for me was I thought, okay, there's a scene where Martha's going to run back in. Her mom says, don't go. But Martha chooses to run back into danger and help the doctor. So in my head, I'm doing the who loves who more. So it's like, okay, she loves the doctor enough that she's going to run back in to save him, but mom goes ahead and goes out with her other children to safety. So she loves her daughter less than her daughter loves the doctor.
Or she loves her other two kids.
She's more.
Like, two out of three ain't bad. And
that could be.
I can adopt more.
Yeah, which I think Angela Bassett would have done too, mm-hmm. which brings the whole thing back.
I felt like they were just trying to like punish each other, like, fuck you, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, and then just completely do the opposite of what was intended, you know? Because that's how I am. That's how my mom is.
That's why you don't have a nose? You cut it off to spite your face?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was waiting for that one, like, what the...
You are the American Sphinx.
Scorpion penis ate it off.
No. So, final thoughts on the episode, Brian?
It was a good episode. I believe this is when they started tying anything with Torchwood, right? Or was that the season before?
It was this kind of this whole season. I can't remember if it, I think Torchwood actually started after this.
Because Martha was supposed to be a crossover for that show, and she couldn't do it for scheduling conflicts.
Right.
So, yeah, because I think this is when they start doing the crossover there. So
right. Well, no, because Jack comes back this season. Spoilers.
Right. Yeah.
So I think this is the season that Torchwood had been on in the break.
Mm-hmm.
So between second and third season, or between the Christmas episode and the Martha episodes,
yeah,
we would have had some Torchwood episodes. Because when we pick up Jack in a few episodes, he's firmly established at Torchwood. Because that's where we pick him up from, toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a good, solid start to that, to what's to follow, especially mm-hmm. with all the crossovers and everything. The CGI is pretty, you know, it is what it is. But it's always been cheesy on Doctor
yeah.
Who.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what we love about it. So, but yeah, it's a good episode, man. I'm happy with it, you know, especially now that I know it's a Scorpion King and a Scorpion penis. It
right?
makes me love it even more.
This
I might
even
watch
better.
It again.
It's the kind of episode for me that I think that I like it a lot better than when I'm watching it and I see that CGI and I'm like, oh, okay. That's this episode, and that, you know, it takes you out of a little bit. But other than that, it's really,
it's kind of
a beloved episode. I
like the first shot where they use practical effects just to show the actual scorpion penis itself, and then after that, it's all CGI. Like I always like practical effects better.
Yeah,
right.
I think modern audiences don't respond to them as well. But to me, I don't care how if it looks cheesy, as mm-hmm. long as there's something physically there, I give more kudos.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, like the original Slovene, when they had like the big rubber suits and it was just all kind of disgusting. And then later on in future episodes, or I think it might have been Sarah Jane, where they just screw it, we'll just CGI them in,
yeah.
and it just was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was like a cartoon.
Well, we were discussing it this morning before the show about the practical effects in Star Wars. In the original, mm-hmm. you know, Star Wars trilogy, how you had the surface of the new Death Star was about the size of this room.
Yeah.
And then the Super Star Destroyer was about the size of our sofa. And they physically crashed them into each other mm-hmm. and had real fire coming out of it. And that had a certain look to it. You know, and then when you get to the CGI stuff, you're just, eh.
It just, I don't, it's lazy to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs more too. That's why it doesn't make sense to me. It costs more to do digital effects. Practical effects.
I just know it feels more real when you're watching something, even if you can tell it's fake, mm-hmm. it feels real. You know, you just see it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that they're actually going to be using practical effects in the new Star Wars
yeah.
movies.
Yeah. J.J. Abrams was big about that, yeah. that he was going to go back to a lot more. Obviously, you're going to have CGI.
Yeah.
I mean, for some things. But for a lot of the shots, he's going to be doing practical again.
Yeah.
Which could be just enough to convince me to go see it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I would probably go see it anyway. But I was so disillusioned by the prequels.
Oh,
that
I mean,
just,
anything after the original trilogy. Even the special editions were I hated, and everything to follow was just, it destroyed me.
Mm.
So I had no hopes at all. But I watching the test, like the footage I just showed at Comic-Con, I really liked it. Like it was really just test footage.
Yeah,
basically it wasn't like a trailer per se. I don't know if you guys watched it.
Mm-mm,
yeah, I have.
It's really good. Like the reaction people had for the first trailer, which I was just kind of lukewarm about. That's like I got a little choked up watching it. So
mm-hmm.
yeah,
I love the ending of really the good. First one though with Harrison Ford.
See, that was the one part I didn't care about. Like,
really,
for me it was this it was a Star Destroyer in the sand, like mm-hmm. crashed in the sand. Like I was like really excited about it, and then everyone was freaking out about Chewie and Han, but like he just looks like old Harrison Ford in cosplay. Like I don't know, I can't imagine Han Solo aging like Harrison Ford does, but I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you would think that maybe he would use the Lazarus machine and age himself back. Some.
Age backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, Chewie's got it made. I mean, you know, they age differently, so.
Yeah. I'd like to see some gray hairs in there.
That would be cool.
Chewie.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice.
Just like the little temples.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
The professor look.
I saw someone do a comic that male pattern baldness in Wookiees was more embarrassing. And so, just like the backside is bare. He's like, you think you got it bad. So.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Wrap it up.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for
having
me.
It was a good time. Good time peeing on people, as always. Is there anything that you would like to promote? Like, where can we find you on Twitter, Facebook, anything like that?
Well, my Facebook is just my name, Brian Lewis. It'll probably be a guy in a blazer for the profile picture. A slightly handsome, nerdy-looking dude. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm on there. From there, I usually talk about when I do stand-up and whatever my various bands are playing shows.
Oh, you know, and you did the live storytelling. Tell me more. A couple weeks ago. So I'll
did
post the link
storytelling
to that.
A couple weeks ago. I told a not necessarily a funny story, which I think everyone expected of me to do. But it was about a breakup. But it was funny. But it was very telling, kind of a deep way. So
I'll post a link to the podcast where people can listen to that, since they're not lucky enough to live in the area.
Yeah,
right.
So
it's part of our arts district. Initiative.
Yes. Well, it's not ours because we live in a different town.
No, it is. I've sponsored. That's why I have no money.
Okay.
Because I've single-handedly been keeping up the arts program of our fair
Whatever,
city.
Man.
No?
Okay. Whatever.
Oh, wait. I do have something. It just dawned on me. Go to thegloom.bandcamp.com, and I will have all of the back catalog up for free very soon. So our EP... Both of our EPs that we put out, the posthumous one, our original one, and then our full length, which has our Doctor Who theme songs on it.
Nice.
Bad Wolf. And then
nice.
Technically Vesuvius is inspired by the Pompeii episode.
I've always wondered about that, actually.
Yes.
Like, I listened to it, and I'm like, God, is this like singing about Donna and Peter Capaldi?
It really was. Yeah. So.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, so you can find us at the website, playingdoctorpodcast.com.
We're on Facebook /playingdoctor.
We're on Twitter @playingdoctors.
We're on Google Plus.
Just search for it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that /Google.
It's Google Plus,
nobody uses it. If you know, like us on, add us to a circle on Google Plus, and I don't know. I'll go through and try to find out some way to mention your name on this show or something.
Like you're a one fan on Google Plus,
right? Holy smokes, is that still out there?
Yeah.
Oh, we're on iTunes and Stitcher,
and we have links for that up on our homepage. So be sure to subscribe, comment, and leave us a rating or review.
Yeah, we read reviews,
especially if you like us.
Yeah.
Not if you're like that one guy who doesn't like us.
The last 1-star and 2-star ratings; those were fun.
Yeah, jerks.
That was me.
Oh, well, sorry for calling you a cunt last week.
It's okay. I am. It's okay. It was apt.
It's fine. We have a phone number.
Yes. Our phone number is 434-993-TIME.
434-993-8463.
Yeah, so call us and let us know what you think about the episode or about the podcast or whatever.
And come see us at Intervention.
Yeah, that's August 14th through 16th in Bethesda.
Mm-hmm. Rockville.
Rockville.
It's right. It's right. They're right there together.
Yeah.
In Maryland.
Yeah. So that's
your home state.
InterventionCon.com.
Yes.
You get your tickets. And
I don't know what table
now.
We're going to be at, but
we'll be there.
Keep an eye on our social media, and we'll be posting all of that soon. We'll have to do another map.
Mm-hmm.
Find us here.
You are here.
Yeah. Try to get a TARDIS or something this year.
Okay. So you can find me on Twitter @Jenny_Z, and I'm also at MouthyBroadcast.com.
And I'm @RealityAmuck, and that's about it.
That's it. Bye, guys.
Bye.
50% of the time, it works every time.